Would you hear these words from Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Would you pray with me? Our good shepherd God, it is my genuine prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts here in this place might be very pleasing to you. For you are indeed our rock and our redeemer. And so we come to your word together, asking you to be shepherd, to be Lord, asking you to look at the hearts of your sheep and to bring to the surface places where we don't quite trust you or things that we're holding back from you. And would you usher us into the freedom that is found in lives surrendered to you? We're here because we love you and want to love you more. We're here because we know you and want to know you more. And so would you know our heart's desires and be faithful to lead us in your path this day? Help us be those who hear your word, but not hear it only. Help us be those who do it as well. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our society thrives on convincing us that there is not enough. Just watch a few commercials and you will soon be pressured with the tagline, "Purchase now while supplies last," because there's not going to be enough for the demand, they are sure. Or the worker in a good-paying job that is actually robbing his soul stays in it for years for fear that there aren't enough good-paying jobs to go around. The threat of a natural disaster and the recommendation to rush to the store and stock up on essentials because once it comes, there's not going to be enough for everyone to survive, so make sure that you're one who does. A popular student at school, afraid to befriend someone who isn't so popular, afraid that there's not enough room in the group for the both of them. The sibling who is jealous each time another sibling gets an award and positive attention, afraid there's not enough love between mom and dad to go around. Countries in wars over borders, afraid what they already possess isn't quiet enough. Generation Xers or Yers or millennials encouraged to save now because there won't be enough Social Security once you baby boomers have your way with it. And yet these same generations living in the greatest debt ever because they already feel like what they have isn't enough. Mixed messages. Plans to build a 10-foot wall between neighbors because our protection is not enough. You see, all around us, our world is whispering in our ears, not enough, not enough, not enough. So get busy. Get busy buying some more and building some more and climbing up the ladder some more and setting yourself over and against others some more because it's not enough. And in the end, someone is going to get the prize and someone's not. And so make sure that you get it because there's not going to be enough. And you know, it seems the psalmist knew our human tendency to buy into this lie all too well. It seems he knew that somehow, for some reason, we sometimes really do fear that there's not enough. And we sometimes really do fear that we're not enough. And we sometimes really do even fear that maybe God's not enough. because how could we not fear that sometimes when the politicians and the salespeople so benefit from a people convinced that there's not enough? It's what keeps these folks alive. And the psalmist responds to the lies that surround us. He gives us this beautiful selection, reflection on truth that tells us again and again, enough. Enough of the fear. Enough of the holding back. Our God is enough. Says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God as my shepherd, I have all I could possibly need or want, is what that must mean. And then the whole psalm from then on begins to flesh out how that statement can possibly be true. And to all the skeptics out there this morning, I ask you for just a moment to lend your ear and hear the psalmist out for a while, because I actually think he's on to something. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The psalmist says, in my daily provisions, God is enough. The shepherd there in Psalm 23, he sees that his sheep are well fed and hydrated every single day. And so the sheep need not worry about how they're going to survive any day, because God is taking care of all of that. It sounds a lot like the God that the Israelites met in the desert. After they left Egypt, they find themselves immediately in this place where there is no food and there is no water to be found. And in their helplessness, they begin to cry out, and God sends this stuff called manna from heaven. Something so very mysterious and strange that the very name of it, manna, in Hebrew means, what is this? Amazing. God sends water to them from a rock. In a place of scarcity where there really was not enough by all the world's standards, God proclaimed another truth in their midst, a truth that said, for my people, there will be enough. There will be more than enough. They tried to hoard the manna and keep it overnight. It didn't last because God wanted them to see tomorrow. It's going to be enough again and again and again. Reminds me of Jesus in his own wilderness place, looking out over the 5,000 plus hungry people, asking his disciples, how are we going to feed them? And immediately the 12 buy into the myth of scarcity once again. They say, oh, we can't feed them, Jesus. There's too many of them. Not enough bread to go around. We must send them home hungry. And the good shepherd, Jesus, finds a little boy in the crowd with just a few loaves of bread, a few fish. And from that, Jesus begins to take it and share with the rest. And one broken loaf of bread at a time, all 5,000 plus are filled, and there are 12 baskets left over just for fun. Jesus is teaching his disciples, when I am in the picture, there's always going to be enough, more than enough. Well, can that really be so? Because I know you, and I know many of you in here are saying, to be honest, every single month is a crisis. Paying rent, stocking the pantry, keeping the water and the power on, every single month. So how is this good shepherd God going to be enough? And that's a fair question. And it's one that I wish I could give you a very direct, specific answer to. But the funny thing about our story in Scripture is that God's care rarely happens in the same way twice. You've got bread falling from the sky. Then you've got a little boy's lunch being multiplied on the spot. And then in the epistles, you have this apostle Paul, this guy who was once very wealthy, never having to worry about the next meal. And we find him in Philippians sitting in a prison cell. And I'm sure many times during that day he would hear his stomach growl. And he sat in a dark cell and he said, you know what? Don't worry about me. He picked up his pen and said to the church, "I am fine. I'm content. A growling stomach, a dark prison cell, it's got nothing on my shepherd God. He is here, and somehow he is enough." So does this same God care for you like that? You better believe it. But how? How will he care for you most in the immediate needs you've got this month? I don't really know. But I bet there will be some mystery and some creativity and lots of grace in it. And I bet when he shows up, there will be more than enough. Because there always has been. And the story of our God never really changes. And so if that be so, if I can trust my God to tend to my very most basic human needs, well, then that means I must be free, free to live a life of abundant generosity. It must mean that I must be free to quit stockpiling my resources, to quit perceiving others' needs as threats to my own. And instead, I get to look at my neighbor and gladly offer one of my loaves of bread with them, knowing that somehow, if Jesus is near, there's enough for the both of us. There's got to be enough. Those who believe that our shepherd God is near and that he's leading us to green pastures, they gladly share what they have today without fear, because they know the shepherd God can take them to another pasture tomorrow. You see, a God who is abundant in provisions makes a people who are abundant in generosity. And the more we live in this truth, I have no doubt there will be more than enough to go around. Enough provisions with our shepherd God. What more? Psalmist says, "He leads me in right paths for his name's sake." It turns out there's enough purpose for the living of our days. You see, the psalmist is quite aware that his daily walk, that his coming to and going from the pasture and the water, his coming to and going from work and home, is all for the sake of making this shepherd's name great. It's all for the sake of exalting his God. As he wrote these words, he must have had the echoes of Genesis 12 in his heart. Whenever God first called his people Israel, and he comes to Abraham, and he says, "I'm going to bless you, and so that then you will go and be a blessing to all the nations." He says, "Israel, I'm going to call you, and so that you will be a people in the world who make my name great," created and called to a purpose so much bigger than themselves. I wonder if perhaps the psalmist was also thinking of Esther, the one who, when the Jews were facing extermination, she alone had the ear of the king, and she's told by her uncle Mordecai, he says, "Who knows, Esther?" He said, "Perhaps you have come to royal standing for such a time as this. Perhaps you're exactly where you are, doing exactly what you're doing for a purpose that is so much bigger than yourself, for a purpose that exalts our God." And as I read these words, I can't help but think of Jesus proclaiming to his followers, "You are the light of the world." To each follower, he says, You are created and called to live on this earth, shining a spotlight on the face of your God. And you know, that's enough purpose to keep us excited and busy for all of our days. And just before Jesus ascends to take his place in heaven, he looks out to the 11 that are still with him. And he says, "Here's your purpose from this day forward. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit." It says, no longer are you just fishermen or just tax collectors or just husbands or just fathers, but you are now commissioned to spread the truth of God to all the world until they all know and they all see. Now, that's purpose enough to get any of us up and moving with a bit of an extra skip in our step each and every day. This morning, I wonder if there are some who are feeling a little bit bored with life. If there are some who are simply antsy to get on to the next thing, be it graduation or a new job or retirement. If you find yourself in that place, my friends, know this day that our Shepherd God has filled this day with enough meaning and purpose to flat wear you out if He wasn't the one also restoring your soul. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are in life, He has indeed created and called you for such a time as this, to live out your life for His name's sake. You see, because we walked this earth with our shepherd all last week, there should be some light shining that wouldn't have been there otherwise. Some light shining on our God. You might say, well, I'm just not so sure there's anything for me to do. I'm just not so sure there's anything out there that I could get all that passionate about these days. My friends, you have been created and called for the sake of God's name and God's kingdom to be a light in a world that is in despair, to be making disciples among a people that are lost and are wandering. You have a purpose. If we were in Texas, I would say you've got a great big old purpose. It matters, and it's exciting, and it's more than you can possibly accomplish any given day or in a lifetime, because your purpose is enough. It's more than enough. If you're feeling bored, if you're twiddling your thumbs, think about our God and His kingdom and get busy. You got a purpose. And if that be so, then you are free. You're free from having to simply accept what is while aimlessly plodding through another day and another day. And you are free to dream and to dream big. When's the last time you just sat down and dreamed big about God and His kingdom here on earth? You're free to dream about what our God wants to do in your home and in your workplace and in our county and in our world. And you're free to dream about how God's dreams might come to reality through you. And that's exciting. A people walking with their shepherd for His name's sake are a people unafraid to dream, because deep in their hearts they know they have a great purpose, and it is more than enough to get them out of bed and keep them going. With our shepherd God, we've got more than enough provisions, more than enough purpose. Could there still be more? He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so it turns out there is enough protection and comfort for the living of these rather dangerous days. You see, the psalmist wasn't naive. He knew Israel's history well. He had lived it with them. The history of escaping the Egyptian army by a Red Sea splitting in two. The history of settling into the promised land, of overcoming enemies left and right because their God was with them and their God was for them. And the psalmist also knew the other side of the coin. He also knew about the times that Israel's enemies actually won the battle and Israel was defeated. He knew about the times that sickness took loved ones too soon. He knew about the times that jobs were lost and that real threats knocked the people of God down. And with all that in mind, the psalmist can write these words of Psalm 23 and say, and yet in it all, our God has never not been with us. And our God has never stopped working out His plan in us and through us. And our Lord Jesus knew this truth just the same. As He walked this earth victorious, many, many days, every day, there is that one day, arrested and killed. And even still, the shepherd, Father God, was with him and for him and working out the purposes of life in that dark valley of a day through him. And so for us, those people, those things all around us that threaten to steal and to kill and to destroy us, be it physical sickness or dysfunctional relationships or attacks from the outside altogether, for us, the rod and staff of our shepherd God is enough to ensure victory and to ensure life. It is more than enough. And if that be true, then we are free to take some risk in this world. We're free to worry less about how to build up walls between us and our enemies, and free to worry more about how we can creatively step into the homes of our enemies and lavish our love upon them, knowing we've got nothing to lose. That's risky, but we've got a shepherd God who's got a rod and a staff that are with us. If our shepherd God's protection is more than enough, then somehow we're free to walk into the doctor's office with a peace in our hearts that surpasses all understanding, a peace that says, no matter what, one thing I know, and that is that I will live. Whether on this earth with my loved ones or in heaven with the one who calls me beloved, I know I will live. You see, our God, he watches his sheep like a hawk. He sees the threats. He knows them well. And our God is resolved to keep on giving us life. And so his protection for us is enough. It's more than enough. So let's take some risk for him and for his kingdom. The shepherd gives his sheep more than enough provisions, more than enough purpose, more than enough protection. I'm a good Baptist preacher here. Three P's, and now we change it. Could there be more? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. With our God, there is enough blessing, not just to fill my cup, but to overflow it completely. And so it runs into the laps of all the people gathered around the table. You see, there's something about this need for a blessing from a father that is at the core of every human heart. It's embedded deeply within us. We can't quite explain it or why it's there, but it's there. And I think it must begin with that covenant when God looked at Abraham and chose him out of all the people on the earth and told him that he was seen and that he was blessed. And from that moment on in the Old Testament, fathers began to pass these blessings onto their children, generation after generation. In the Old Testament, we begin to immediately see from that point on fights over blessings. In Genesis, you see brothers determined to kill each other for want of this blessing. We see entire nations come to be because of the words spoken and a blessing. They're powerful things that breed life. A couple of years ago, I heard the politician Joe Lieberman, a devout Jewish man, speak. And as he was speaking, he talked about how he would bless his children every night as they were growing up. He said he would gather them around him and he'd place his hand on their head. And over them he would speak that famous Hebrew blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he give you peace. And Joe Lieberman said that his kids are all grown and left home now. And when they come back to visit, he said his big old grown sons will come to him at night and say, Dad, will you bless me again? You see, there's something in our hearts that longs for the blessing of a father. that longs for one who is big and powerful over us to look us in the eyes, to place his hand gently on our head, and to simply say, "You are my child, and I love you to the moon." Not for what you've done, just for who you are. I'm proud of you. I want only the best for you. You are the apple of my eye. You are the joy of my heart. Be blessed, my child. Be blessed. And for those of us who have never received such a blessing, we will search this earth far and wide trying to get it. We'll work ourselves ragged trying to be enough. We will drink ourselves to death trying to escape the emptiness. We will overcompensate in other relationships trying to achieve love. And we will be unable to celebrate with and bless others because something in our heart keeps telling us there's not enough blessing to go around. There's not enough love. There's not enough attention for us all. So if someone else is getting more than their share, jealousy bubbles up. And the lie of scarcity wins the day. The lie that says work hard to be loved and to outdo others because there's only so much to go around and you're not enough on your own. And yet the psalmist sits at the Lord's banqueting table and the shepherd God just keeps filling his cup. Like that over-attentive waitress who refills your water every time you take a sip. It's annoying then. At God's table, it's not annoying, it's beautiful. And I imagine that each time God fills that cup, he rests his gentle shepherd hand on the psalmist's head, and he says, "Just because I'm crazy about you, have some more. I just love having you here at my table. You're the apple of my eye. You're the joy of my heart. Being your father is such a thrill. I love you to the moon. Have some more, my child. Have some more. Be blessed, my child. There's more than enough for you." And as the psalmist begins to look around the table, he sees that everyone else around that table is being blessed just the same. And for some crazy reason, his heart is not jealous at all, because there's more than enough love and blessing to go around. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter a bit who his earthly father is and what he did or didn't do, because he has received a blessing from his true father. And so in freedom, he gets up and he goes from that table with abundant blessings to share, with an abundance of love and of grace and of words of true blessing that might lift others, because he simply knows his cup will never, ever run dry. He has been blessed. And so he is free to bless. When's the last time you truly blessed someone? When's the last time you just let your cup overflow? Draw near to your shepherd God, my friends. His blessings are enough to receive and enough to pour out. No need for jealousy, no competition. There's enough. And in it all, we have been given enough life to live life to the full from this day on. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Lord my whole life long. With our God by our side, whatever may come our way, all we will know is life and more life. An abundant life at that. There is enough for you to fully live. There are enough provisions for you to share. There is enough purpose for you to dream. There is enough protection for you to take some risk. And there is enough blessing for you to love. And I guarantee you, it won't be long after you leave this place before a message comes across your ear and the enemy or our culture or your bank account begins to whisper and begins to tell you again, not enough, not enough, not enough. And with that whisper, you begin to hear that voice say, hoard, settle, build a wall, push them away. My friends, if you hear a message that sounds like that, a message that the root of it is in that lie that there's not enough, would you resolve right now to determine that that is not from God? And would you resolve right now to disregard it immediately and to choose to live by sharing, by dreaming, by risking, by loving? And these things, surely, goodness and mercy will follow you today and every day, and you will dwell in God's house forevermore. Thank you, Jesus, our good shepherd, for being enough, more than enough. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Father, we all admit that we buy into the lies all the time. And in those lies, we push others away to protect ourselves. We store up things to try to make ourselves more comfortable or seem more valuable. And all the while, you're speaking over us, saying, my love for you is abundant. My cup at your table overflows. My child, simply receive and be free to live, to share, to dream, to risk, and to love. We hear your truth this day. Let it soak into our hearts. Let it change the way we live in our homes, in our community, in our world. Starting this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.